time now for hour number two of this weekend's big two-hour installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. I'm the anchor, and the host of the program is Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Let's kick this hour off now with Carol Marks. And Carol was at the recent Talk Radio Day at the United Nations. It was a radio row. It was the ninth annual installment of this event sponsored by Talkers Magazine in conjunction with the Talk Radio News Service and the UN Foundation. Very exciting day. And at this event, Carol, who is one of the invited guests, spoke with Kieran Dwyer. He works in the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, that's OCHA, and Carol spoke to him at the headquarters of the United Nations in Manhattan.
Now, how long have you been with the Humanitarian Affairs Office?
I've worked with my current job for just the last 6 months or so, but I joined with the UN about 15 years ago.
And there's so much going on when it comes to humanitarian affairs. So it encompasses human rights, am I correct?
Yeah, as we define humanitarian affairs in the work we do, the bottom line for us is humanitarian crises and emergencies and saving lives. Now, sometimes these are natural disasters like hurricanes and tsunamis and floods. Sometimes they're man-made crises like war and conflict, and when we have massive numbers of refugees and people displaced from their homes. So for us, they're the main things we're focusing on, saving lives in emergencies.
And I found that one of the more interesting and I think really progressive things that your office is doing is trying to prepare cities and villages before a crisis happens. And would you say that really it also involves today the importance of climate change, that cities and villages in the world need to realize that the oceans and rivers will rise and what they need to do about it?
Carol, you've really put your finger on an issue here. One of the biggest challenges that the world faces is that things are changing a lot. Climate change is something that we're all trying to get our head around, and what this is going to mean around the world, and it's going to affect particularly more vulnerable communities even more when it comes to saving lives. But another issue that you touched on is urbanization. Cities are growing so fast, and many cities are growing fast in quite vulnerable areas. Imagine large cities in earthquake-prone areas, large cities on coastal areas. We saw this in New York even just a couple of years ago with Sandy, when the storm came and the water came into the city, and we weren't really well prepared enough. The more we can prepare in advance of the crisis, the more lives will be saved, and actually the more money will be saved. It's much cheaper to prepare than it is to respond.
Is the definitive thing is having good communication, the same kind of communication between the organizations and whatever cities or suburban areas lie within a particular place?
Coordination that we've learned over the years is really key to making sure that both preparation and response is effective. Again, Americans themselves, I think, know from some of the bad experiences that you've had here in New Orleans, and some of the big storms in the Midwest, Sandy in New York, that when disaster strikes, communication systems go down. People lack information. They don't know where to go. At the absolute moment they need to turn to for help, they sometimes don't have access to that. So getting your systems of communication organized in advance so people know what to tune into to get information, alternatives, so that if one system goes down, they have another system, they have their networks of support lined up, but also that they're prepared as best they can be themselves to maybe cope for that first 3 hours, first 10 hours, first 24 hours before help can come. We can talk about this experience in our own homes, and then we can imagine what it must be like for somebody sitting in another part of the world, but from maybe a poorer country with less support. When the crisis hits them, they also need help, and that's what we're about in the United Nations, and it's why humanitarianism, the saving lives in emergencies, it's one of the most basic things that the UN is about.
Because there are always going to be emergencies, and I think that the UN is the only worldwide organization that I know that is talking about what to do when an emergency happens. Everybody's talking about individual things, earthquakes, climate change. So this is vital. And another wonderful thing, but it unfortunately happens from all kinds of disasters and wars, is a refugee crisis. And every time I read the paper, it just seems to be growing more and more.
One of the areas of work, very sadly, that we have to be involved with is the humanitarian crisis caused by war and conflict. And let me give your listeners some examples right now of three major conflicts we have that are causing untold human misery. Syria, where there are 9.3 million people in the country who desperately need help, and nearly 3 million people that are refugees in the neighbouring countries that have been pushed out of their homes, are homeless, they've lost everything, and they're desperately trying to make sure that their family members are safe, that they can be fed, and that they receive medicine and care. And we know that when disaster strikes like this, and you're pushed out of your home, you're made into a refugee, the most vulnerable people are most at risk of dying. This means children, it means the elderly, and it means people who have already other health conditions. And so we need to do all we can to make sure that assistance is there. It costs money, and it needs the international community behind it. In South Sudan, a conflict struck there 6 months ago that has now 1.56 million people desperately in need of aid. We have 100,000 people nearly sheltering inside UN bases, so that just for protection, just so they don't get killed by the warring sides, and every day being fed, being looked after medically, and all their emergency needs met. In Central African Republic, that's a country of 4 million people, over 2 million people need day-to-day life-saving assistance from the international community working with the government there. So we see in these situations, too, a spilling out of refugees into the neighbouring country as people flee from violence. And again, it's sometimes hard for us to imagine this in a place like America. But try to put yourself in the shoes of someone who is trying to get on with their daily life. Most of these people in these countries are farmers. They make their living from the land around them. And they're pushed off their land. They're pushed out of their home. They can't plant their crops. They can't look after their children. They're desperately just trying to stay alive for today.
And I think that there are going to be increasing number of civil wars in a lot of countries, and that produces refugees. How is the UN doing about getting other nations to help fund this crisis and make people aware of it? And if it can happen in anywhere in the world, you know, it can happen in parts of the United States, which it does on a smaller basis.
One of the key jobs of our part of the UN is to coordinate the financial response to this crisis. And there's never enough money. Right now, for example, 54 million people in the world need humanitarian assistance, around 26 countries for the key places. And we need $17 billion to do that this year. Now, that sounds like an awful lot of money. It is an awful lot of money. But it's not actually that much money if you think of what's spent on military every year.
Absolutely.
Not that much money if you think about what we spend globally on some other things. And this is about saving lives. Only 30%, we have only $5.2 billion of that $17 billion so far needed this year. So we work with, there are some countries that traditionally give and give generously every year. America is one of those countries. We need those countries to keep up their commitments and understand that it's in everybody's interests that we
Absolutely.
Have a more stable world.
We've talked about two of the important things that humanitarian affairs does. Do you, in the brief time, unfortunately, that we have left, do you want to mention a couple of other things that you're involved in and that you are doing a wonderful job, the very best you can, to help with these critical problems?
Let me highlight two things, because I think that this will really resonate with your listeners. We work with all of the United Nations and non-governmental and government humanitarian aid deliverance. Children is a major focus for all of us, because again, children are so vulnerable and should never be caught up in these humanitarian crises. So we work particularly in the UN system with UNICEF, which is the Children's Fund,
right,
to try to deliver programs where you have the crisis to target support to children, to help them survive and thrive and not lose generations in these situations. In Syria, in South Sudan, in Central African Republic, in the desert areas of the Sahel in Africa, where children are at grave risk of malnutrition, trying to help them survive. So children is a major focus. Secondly, I would draw attention just again to the preparedness that we're trying to help communities get ready. So that if we know, for example, in some of these areas that are becoming more and more, the Sahara Desert is coming down, for example, in areas of Africa. Somalia has recurrent problems with droughts. In certain parts of the Asian region, you have what's called the Ring of Fire, where you have earthquakes, tsunami risks. Working with local communities, local governments, we know that if we spend $1 on helping communities get prepared, we save $7 on a response effort later when the emergency happens.
You just made a wonderful point that people can really understand when you made that point. As part of the UN, what parts can people give money to? I mentioned UNICEF. Is there any other particular wing that helps with refugees?
I think that people have their own areas of interest, and we need to be able to say you can help in any of these areas of interest. UNICEF with the children, there's the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, which does extraordinary work wherever there are refugees. These organisations all have websites. They're not too hard to find nowadays. The World Food Programme feeds people who are desperate for food, and they support local organisations that do that feeding. It's not just the UN. So we work with the local organisations everywhere.
And that's really important. And I want to thank you so much, Karen Dwyer, for coming on and talking about the work that the Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs does. It's so important. And I think a lot of people don't know about it. And now I hopefully believe they're going to. So thanks again.
Thanks so much, Claire. Appreciate
yes.
it.
Karen Dwyer, in conversation with Carol Marks at the 9th Annual Talk Radio Day at the United Nations in New York City back in June of this year. Carol Marks returns in conversation with J. Edward Chamberlain. You'll find out all about it next when A Touch of Gray continues.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Hi. Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here's the host of the show, Carol Marks, in conversation with J. Edward Chamberlain, University Professor Emeritus of English and Comparative Literature at the University of Toronto. His new book is titled Island, How Islands Transform the World, published by Bluebridge.
Did your love for islands start with your visiting growing up to an uninhabited island near your home, and why did you enjoy going there anyway?
It certainly, my interest started. I grew up on the west coast of Canada, surrounded by islands, and went to one, as you described, when I was a youngster, nobody on it. And in some ways, the book is my attempt to answer that question. Why do people go to islands? What is it about islands that has fascinated humans from time immemorial? I think certainly crossing a body of water for most of human history has never been easy. Boats of one sort or another, raft, or the way we did it. There are lots of particular reasons people go to islands. They go for the commodities that are on them. In history, they've gone for spices. They've gone for seals. They've gone looking for interesting new people. But there's something about crossing that body of water and moving over to somewhere else in a way that is distinctive, not like crossing land, that fascinates people. And in some ways, it seems to me, it's like the way in which we cross over from our island themselves, one to the other through language or various other ways. There's something very deep in human consciousness that's involved in traveling to islands.
Now, do you have any idea, because I know you visited islands that are big and small, and just how many islands there are in the world?
Well, I'm often asked that, and my answer is somewhere between 200,000 and 2 million, depending on how you count them. Do you count every rock outcrop as an island? If you're a sailor, you certainly do, because you don't want to run into it. Or do you count places which are substantial enough to support a fair bit of life? That's usually how we count them and name them. But they're all dotted all over the oceans and lakes and rivers of the world. There are small islands that are there for a while and then often get worn away by the wind and the weather and the water. So there's a lot of islands, and there are, interestingly, a lot of island nations as well, a lot of islands that are recognized as independent by the United Nations. A quarter of the world's nations are islands, and a billion people, all told, live on the islands of the world. So that's quite a, what have we got, about 7 billion on the planet right now, and so 15% or so are people who spend their lives on islands.
Now, one thing that your book did, you put into perspective something about our planet that really I'll always remember, because you wrote about how important our environment is to our survival by saying that we could look at Mother Earth, the planet that we live on, really as an island in space.
Yeah.
So I never would have thought of looking at it that way, but I think that that's a great way to look at it.
Well, and in some ways, space travel, which we're now fascinated by, is our equivalent to the travel that people took centuries ago across the oceans, through vast distances with navigational techniques that were remarkable, but not perfect, to find the islands of, say, the South Pacific or the North Atlantic. And those people weren't just Europeans. They were the Polynesian peoples who settled the islands of the Pacific as well, going out across the trackless seas is not unlike going out into space to find other islands in space, the planets, the moon, and our own planet, which is both an island in space, but it also comes into being as the living presence that we now know it because of original islands, when land first appeared above the water, and when life as we know it began.
Now, talking about the Polynesians, one of the things I enjoyed reading in your book and learning about was the way that they were able to sail thousands of miles across the ocean from one island to another island. So what made their system so successful, and how was their system different from the way the Europeans navigated, who, by the way, looked down very much on the Polynesians?
They did, although the great ones, the James Cooks, learned from the Polynesians, learned something about how to move around in that vast ocean. There was one fascinating and fundamental difference between the navigational systems of the Europeans and the Polynesians. Both of them were remarkable. For the Europeans, I put it this way, for a European navigator, the boat was moving while everything else was fixed. And so they would take fixes, as they called them, in order to establish their location on the map. So for a European, here was where the boat was on the map. For a Polynesian, here was where the boat was on the ocean. And for Polynesian navigation, the boat was deemed to be fixed while everything else was in motion. So everything for a Polynesian, everything, including the destination, moved in relation to the boat until the Polynesian sailor reached his or her destination. The Polynesians knew that that was a kind of fiction. So did the Europeans. They knew their boat wasn't on a map. It was sitting out there in the ocean. And the Polynesians knew their boat was moving, but they determined their location in relation to their destination in fundamentally but remarkably effective different ways. And we still don't fully understand how the Polynesians did it. We know a lot now about their navigation. We don't have some of the techniques as surely as we do the European ones, but we are sure that that's how they moved about, and in many cases how they still navigate on the ocean.
J. Edward Chamberlain in conversation with Carol Marx. His book is titled Island, How Islands Transform the World, published by Bluebridge. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to be joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, for the rest of the way. And in just a few minutes, Richard's going to be talking with Mar Jennings. He's a top lifestyle expert and an Emmy-nominated TV host who's been featured on HGTV, The Today Show, QVC, and The Food Network. He's going to share with Richard and with you active lifestyle tips on how baby boomers can stay mentally and physically active to enjoy a healthy lifestyle. So, Richard, we know that you have already spoken to him. It is in the can. Nobody has heard it. It is in a sealed envelope. It's going to have its world premiere on this great radio platform in just a few minutes. Can you give us a hint? Are we going to come out of this conversation feeling active and healthy?
Well, he's an avid gardener. And, you know, I don't know if you've gotten into gardening, but that seems to be something. Do we know any young gardeners? You know, it seems that most of the gardeners are people of a certain age. Why do we get into gardening as we get a little bit older?
Because
can you answer that?
Because we appreciate, don't you know, it goes to show that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. No, that's not the answer. Gardening is something that makes you closer to the earth. It's like the cliche, stop and smell the roses. it's literal. You really do feel when you're gardening that you are closer to nature, closer to the earth, and closer to being alive.
So you work above the earth before you go beneath it, I see. I see where you're going with that one.
Lovely.
Well,
lovely thought.
Really. But, you know, it's interesting because remember the Godfather, Don Corleone, had his great garden and he's growing grapes for wine and tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it seems that we turn to that as we get older and we appreciate that more. We appreciate flowers and growing our own tomatoes and growing our own mm-hmm. plants. Do you have a garden in your backyard?
I do.
You do?
I do. I have to say that it is my wife who inspires it. I do not garden, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and if I had more time, I sure would do it. Absolutely. If I had more time, I would do other things that are of a similar nature. I would paint more. I would write for pleasure as opposed to for work. There are a lot of things I would do if I had that opportunity. You're saying I should paint for you?
Yeah, well, I have a dining room that could use a touch-up here. But no, seriously, that's, I think, part of the point of what we're talking with Mar about is that why wait on those things, you know? Why decide, well, someday I'll build a boat, someday I'll do this.
Because you're busy.
And then someday never comes.
Because you're too busy making a living, because the economy screwed the boomers out of their life savings, the collapses of 2008, and half their savings are gone, and they can't retire when they want to. That's why.
I will give you the quote from John Lennon: "Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans."
Well, that's also true. But what I'm saying is a very, very big problem for many, many middle class boomers who had figured out the rest of the way they were going to retire. They had figured out their income. They had a certain amount of savings, and now they can't do it. And they're working. You talk to people all the time who you know the old thing among people in their 60s and 70s, when are you going to retire? Well, when can I retire? A lot of people are not working because they're workaholics. They're working because they can't afford to retire. And well, retirement is when you get to do a garden.
Well, not to be too political, but, you know, the Highway Trust Fund, they're running out of money, and they need a way to finance it. And one of the bills in Congress now is called, they're going to smooth pensions so that they can find money to build the highways. Now, what does smoothing pensions mean to you?
I have no idea. I have never
reducing
heard that term.
Taking out some of the benefits. Some writer said, in order to fill our potholes on the highways, we're putting potholes in people's pension plans. That's
lovely.
What it is.
Everything that seems to be happening in this chapter of our long existence, which is, of course, short existence, but at this age, seems to be the system screwing the little guy. It just really is. You said before not to get political. How could we possibly do a show called A Touch of Gray aimed at helping people who are 50-plus deal with life and not recognize the fact that it's getting tougher and tougher to be old in this country?
Well, the promises that were made are being broken out of austerity and economic necessity. We talk about tightening our belts and watching our budget and everything. And that was something that you thought, well, you know, when I retire, I'm going to do all these things and I'll have my pension coming in and Social Security and I'll be financially set and I'll sell my house and I'll move into something smaller. And, you know, you thought 7 or 8 years ago that your house was worth X dollars and now it's worth X minus 25% or 30%, it's a whole different set of circumstances.
Well, yeah, but if in fact the austerity were based on some type of natural famine or some type of economic downturn that has reality to it, but this is based on fraud. This is based upon crooks. It's based upon a corrupt system, and that's what's so maddening about it. People are being punished for the crimes of others, as opposed to being sharing the pain that we're all having inflicted on us by circumstances that were beyond our control. These are circumstances that could have been controlled, and they're still not being tended to. I'll get off my soapbox. We have to take a break. If you want to pick it up after your conversation with Mar Jennings, I am more than willing to do that. But I do want to ask you a little bit about something else that happened this week in terms of sports and the All-Star Game. Another one of your bailiwicks, so we'll see where we go with it. Richard Neer's with us, folks. He's going to talk to Mar Jennings next, and then he'll be back to talk with me when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and as promised, here's our senior correspondent Richard Neer in conversation with Mar Jennings, top lifestyle expert and Emmy-nominated TV host who's been featured on HGTV, The Today Show, QVC, and The Food Network.
Mar, you're saying that folks are now redefining baby boomers, what it means to age. Tell us about what definitions were and what they're becoming.
You know, I think it used to be that we would accept that we're just getting older and we're supposed to slow down, we're supposed to retire. But you know what? Baby boomers today are not embracing that one bit. And I think they're starting by really acknowledging what they love and what they used to do. They're active more than ever. And I always say, Richard, a smart tip is to do what you love and love what you do. And when you do that, you find the passion and the energy, not to mention the time to actually get out there and be active, which is so important. That's a true fountain of youth, I like to call it.
Yeah, and I think, too, discovering new things as well as finding what you, you know, used to like to do, but finding new things and taking chances and experimenting, which is something that, you know, previous generations were a little slow to do, I think.
You know, that's a really good point. You have to strive to push yourself to do things that you've never done before, whether it be something as simple as a cooking or a gardening class or something more adventurous. Jumping out of a plane. I mean, we're seeing everything in between and then some. I think it's important to visualize where you want to be and really create a plan. Now, I was a former competitive figure skater, so for me, I still go on the ice. I don't expect myself to do those triples anymore, but I do expect myself to go out there and to get that, you know, feeling of accomplishment of being out on the ice and doing something that I truly loved and reconnecting with that. It's about keeping active and moving. It's so important.
Well, that is important to redefine your goals because, as you say, you don't do the triples anymore. Maybe in golf we don't hit the ball 300 yards anymore if we ever did. But, you know, maybe we play from the gold tees and we get a little bit more modest in our aims and we can still enjoy ourselves doing what we always do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love golf, Richard, but I only play with my 3-iron because it's the only one that behaves. But the point is that I'm out there, I'm walking, you know, I'm taking in Mother Nature, the beauty of that. You know, I like to say another smart tip is, you know, if you can get out there gardening, whether it be container gardening or whether it be a more elaborate yard, there's no better way to connect to Mother Nature and really show off your efforts. That's a wonderful way to show off your efforts. But
And we've been talking a lot about physical activity, Mar, but also it's mental activity too, right? I mean, there are a lot of things you can do to stimulate your mind, and just because we occasionally have our senior moments where the memory doesn't feel as good as it used to, we still can do things like learn new languages, right?
Oh, I love that. You know, any time you can pick up a new language, whether it's French or Spanish, and you just stimulate your mind. Even a great crossword puzzle, I'm horrible at it, but I force myself to try to figure it out. And, you know, that's challenging, and that's all great behavior. But one thing, too, Richard, I want to talk about is really what people are not talking about, is that many men and women are living with bladder leakage. And I'm delighted to partner with Depend to tell people that Depend underwear with new Fit Flex protection gives people the freedom and the confidence, which is very important, to get out and to live very active lives. And being a former skater, I know about Lycra. It has more Lycra strands, and that means it fits more contour to your body so you can truly go out there and do everything that you used to do and then some.
Well, and of course, that is what people have used as an excuse for not traveling, you know, the limitations of that, which now aren't so limiting.
You know, that's a very good point, very relevant. People, you know, think about it and they hesitate to travel because they're concerned on exactly how they're going to conceal this. They do not have to think about that anymore. You know, it's about getting rid of the stigma and talking about it. And as a lifestyle expert and authority, you know, my mission is very clear, to give people the empowerment and the tools that they need so they can go out there and do those things that they love and truly connect with those activities. And there's so many wonderful things out there. It's just a matter of sitting down and saying, okay, today I'm going to begin the change.
Mar, you know, you are certainly a gardening expert. And talk about maybe some of the changes in gardening in the last decade or so. It seems that, for example, our yards, our landscaping, we're getting a little bit less dependent on irrigation and fertilizer and trying to be more ecologically sound.
That's a good point. You know, we're really focusing a lot on being green and being very aware of the environment. You know, irrigation systems, you know, are important to some gardens, but people are saying, you know what, I think the activity of getting out there and watering my shrubs and plant is a healthy activity, is a responsibility. Whenever you add that responsibility to your day, you feel you have this great purpose, and there's nothing better than the rewards. You know, I always say you start in a container. My grandmother would also validate this. You start in a container, and towards the end of your gardening career, you're also back in the container, but you're rediscovering it. And one big trend right now is all about containers, not just little ones, but very large ones as well. And instead of filling them completely up with soil, you're just filling them halfway with water bottles, empty water bottles, so you can actually have them be more mobile and you can move them around. That's a great smart tip if you're a gardener.
Well, Mar, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. We enjoyed your tips. Mar Jennings, the book is Life on Mars, and, of course, you can see him on the Today Show and HGTV and all over the place. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. And make sure you check out my website, marjennings.com, for more home, garden, and lifestyle tips. And also go to depend.com. There's some great inspirational stories there as well.
That's Mar Jennings in conversation with Richard Neer. And if you want more information, you can go to marjennings.com. That's spelled MarJennings.com. and check out our website, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. I'm Michael Harrison, and the final segment of our two-hour get-together coming up with more conversation with our friend and colleague, Richard Neer. That's next.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we continue our conversation with Richard Neer. Prior to your conversation with Mar Jennings, Richard, I sort of flew off the handle, and then some people in the studio were saying to me what I was saying was liberal, and I'm saying, liberal? Since when did crime and honesty be politicized to left and right? Because if you know me, I am extremely nonpartisan. I go to the left when the road goes to the left. I go to the right when the road goes to the right. Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. But you're not going to hear me subscribe to any of these shallow ideologies. Regardless, boy, oh boy, have we reached a great point in our society where people don't even know what liberal and conservative mean. If you have anything to say to that, I give the floor to you. Otherwise, let's talk baseball.
Okay. Well, all I will say is I don't think the ideologies are shallow. I think the labels are. and let's talk baseball.
Well, I understand that the All-Star game, I didn't see the All-Star game. I have to admit, I don't watch All-Star games. I just don't watch them anymore because they're... I like when something is at stake. Now, I know that home field advantage in the World Series is at stake, but that kind of is... I don't know if that really is something the average baseball player or team cares about in the middle of the summer, because it only really does... I don't know, does it affect them all financially? Does the whole league share in that? I'm not sure. And they make so much money, do they care?
Yeah, well, it's kind of abstract. However, here's the thing. Adam Wainwright in the first inning admitted and then walked it back that he threw Derek Jeter a meatball or a grapefruit or a pitch that was easy to hit so that Derek Jeter could, as he retires, be a star in the All-Star game. Now, you can debate whether that was the right thing to do or not, and then he admitted it, and then he said, no, I didn't. So he actually did.
Well, he said he was kidding.
Well, he wasn't kidding. If you saw the clip, he mm-hmm. was serious. But the question is, okay, if it's an exhibition game, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, let Derek Jeter have his glory. That's fine. However, if in fact, now the St. Louis Cardinals, who Wainwright pitches for, were in the World Series last year. And if it comes down and they make it this year, which is doubtful, but if they do, and if there's a Game 7 and it's played in the American League city, Boston, or I don't think so this year, but wherever it's going to be, it's a decided disadvantage.
Unless the Red Sox move to Oakland.
Well, that's who doubtful. Knows at this point. It might
okay.
even be
but okay, let's move forward quickly. Now, okay, aside from whether or not the game is meaningful, let's suppose the game is not meaningful. Let's suppose it's an exhibition baseball game just for the sake of seeing an exhibition baseball game between the two leagues, and forget about the home field advantage. Is it still ethical for somebody to throw a meatball so a guy could have a moment of glory?
Or well, should how about you when Denny McClain threw a meatball to Mickey Mantle? Mickey Mantle was trying to tie Jimmy Fox for career home runs. He was stuck at 534. Mm-hmm. So McClain said, I'm going to throw you a fastball right down the middle of the plate. Mantle didn't believe him a couple of times. Finally, he did and hit it out for his 535th home run. So that tied and then later broke a record. Mm-hmm. Was that right? I mean, is it right not to give your best effort on the field?
Yes, it's wrong. No, it's not right to not give your best effort on the field because that's what people are paying to see. And it's still a contest. It just may not affect the standings, but it still is a contest. And even if it's just for pride, the fans deserve that. But even more so, are you really doing the other guy a favor by having his record always have, whether it's a real asterisk or a mental one, that the guy threw a meatball, that, you know... A lot of times guys don't want that. I don't want the record. I don't want to have everybody say, yeah, I had glory in the last game, but the guy threw it up over the middle of the plate. Sorry?
Well, do you remember a while
we only
back?
Have about 30, we only have about 30 seconds.
Okay, so. Well, I can't get into the Connecticut basketball player who got hurt, and they gave her a layup so she could break the scoring record. Same thing,
wow,
right?
Absolutely. Thanks, Richard. Richard Neer joins us every week right here. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Kevin Casey. Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Thank you, Beverly Santanella. Thank you, Carol Marks. I'm Michael Harrison. Thanking you. Join us next weekend for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey.